Good evening, brethren and sisters. I'd like to thank the Pendarin Ecclesia for hosting this study weekend. The epistle written by Paul to the Ecclesia at Philippi for their instruction and encouragement is the subject of this evening's study and the lessons contained therein, as with all scripture, are extremely important instruction for us concerning faithfully holding the commandments till the return of Christ, faithfully enduring trials, rejoicing in the Lord, and our disposition to brethren and sisters, among many other things. The Philippian Ecclesia, located at Philippi, which was at the very top of the Aegean Sea, and was beside Neapolis and Amphipolis, and just west was Apollonia and Thessalonica. It seems the ecclesia located there was in a relatively good spiritual condition, with many of the faithful there laboring in the same spirit as Paul. Philippians 2 verse 12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with trembling, with fear and trembling." Paul begins his writings rejoicing that the brethren and sisters at Philippi stood with him in the fellowship of the truth. Philippians 1 verses 3 through 5, "I thank God at every remembrance of you, always, in every prayer of mine for you, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." We see that Paul, even though he was in bonds at the time, rejoiced greatly that his labor was not in vain. It was relieving to him to think that they were not only willing to share in his bonds, but also in the defense of the gospel. Philippians 1 verse 7, "Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I gave you in my heart, inasmuch both in my bonds and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are partakers of my grace." Should we not also rejoice in those brethren and sisters that stand with us during times of trial, or those who stand by the truth, especially in times when it is damaging to their position or even dangerous to themselves? During the time of the apostles, teaching the truth, even in the face of death, was a reality that many had to deal with on a daily basis. The Philippians, however, would not seek death as those that would call themselves martyrs, for those that seek martyrdom seek the approval of the world and not of God. Through the grace of God, the brethren and sisters today do not have to face persecution unto death. However, all will have to endure times of trial. And we must rejoice as Paul also rejoiced. For we are told that in Hebrews 12 verse 6, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." We must look at these trials as reminders to step back and look at the bigger picture. That trial may have come at a time when we were at our spiritual lowest, distracted by the cares of this world, or possibly puffed up with pride. The best action to take is to turn unto the scriptures for guidance and knowledge for the best way to proceed through our affliction. If we ever feel our trial may be too much or too overwhelming, we may turn unto the epistle written to the Corinthians, and we read what Paul endured during his time of teaching the truth. For we read in 2 Corinthians 11, starting partway through the 23rd verse, continuing to verse 28, "In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft, Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A day, or a night and a day, I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in washings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the ecclesias. But through all these trials and afflictions, he not only held fast to the truth, but thrived in it, writing in Philippians 1 verse 12, But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, knowing that his trials further spread of the gospel, he carried on unwaveringly. When trials fall upon us, we must treat them in the way appointed by Scripture, not only in the attitude, but in how we proceed through them. All the ecclesia and individual brethren and sisters will suffer afflictions and persecutions, some worse than others. They are given unto us to humble and to teach us the way, that we may better be molded to the vessel that is suitable for the Lord's will. Isaiah 64 verse 8, But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou art potter, and we are all are the work of thy hand. And Jeremiah 18 verse 2 through 4, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. We willingly submit ourselves to these trials, for they are for our benefit, making ourselves a suitable vessel for the work God has set for us. If we succeed and let ourselves be molded by our trials, then it may be said of us, as it was said of the Philippians in Philippians 2 verse 13, For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Paul was also glad his trials emboldened all the ecclesias and further the spread of the truth. Philippians 1 verse 14 through 18. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. That one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. His bonds emboldened all the faithful brethren of the time to spread the word, the truth, further, despite the very real threat of death and bonds. But we are all human, and these trials can press sore on the weary or those who have endured many. For Paul, facing all these afflictions had an overwhelming effect on him at times. Philippians 1, verse 23, For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. He knew that if he was to depart into the sleep of death, it would have ended his trials and his waiting till the return of Christ would have been that of a moment. Many of us have experienced death of family members, friends, or co-workers, but the death of our brothers and sisters in the truth often weigh on us the most. However, we also feel a sense of relief for them, realizing that God has decided that their trials are over, and they now wait only for the return of Christ to be judged of their faith. God knows what is best for man, and in the case of Paul, determined that it would be best for him to live a little while longer to further the spread of the truth. Philippians 1, verse 24 to 26. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ, for me by my coming to you again. Philippians 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. Let your conversation, or properly translated, citizenship, with the intent to behave as a citizen, be as it becometh the gospel. With the constant influence of the world around us, it is easy to let those influences slip into our daily lives. A constant awareness of the direction of our actions, words, and thoughts is critical. Knowing when it is necessary to guide them as best we can back onto the spiritually productive path, utilizing the time we have been given to be prepared day by day for the return of Christ. Philippians 3:20, for our conversation or citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We await the return of Christ to establish the kingdom that we may, if found faithful, assume our citizenship therein, and that by setting our affection on things above, we may be found waiting at his return. The second chapter opens with some extremely important verses. Philippians 2, verses 1 and 2. If there be any, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship, if the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. It gave Paul comfort and gladness that the members of the ecclesia be of one mind in the truth, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. When we are not of one mind one with another, it will hinder the furtherance of the truth. Matthew 12, verse 25, and Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Paul knew this, and even used it causing a dissension between the Pharisees and Sadducees on the matter of resurrection. We must be like-minded, as it gave Paul, and by extension, Christ, great joy that they were of one mind with the brethren and sisters, that we may work the better in unison, and that none may find fault among us. Paul outlines the relationship and treatment of those who we consider to be brethren and sisters. Philippians 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Taking example from this instruction, we are to do nothing out of spite or to create contention between members of the ecclesia, doing nothing out of vanity or to appease our own self-glorying, esteeming each other better than ourselves. How opposite of the world today with their preaching of their self-esteem, self-reliance, and self-glory. Paul, though we consider him to be one of the most helpful brethren to have ever existed and the chosen vessel of God for the spreading of the truth, considered himself to be the most unworthy of all. If he thought himself unworthy, how must we feel in our small efforts? We must never think of ourselves to be better or more righteous than our brethren, for God only findeth pleasure in the truly meek and humble. Philippians 2, verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. It is easy to get distracted by our trials and daily affairs and forget or be found lacking in our other duties. But it is just as important that we help others in the ecclesia with their problems, not neglecting our work in the truth and critical matters of daily operation. However, not wasting our time on petty, unproductive matters, helping others to better deal with their trials and tasks in the truth, which is far more profitable. Philippians 2, verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. It is imperative that we do our appointed tasks without murmurings and disputings. It is faithful joy and service that is what pleases God. For we read in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Philippians 2, verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as the lights of the world. We are called to be the sons of God. The only way to be a son of God is to faithfully and humbly follow his commandments, for that is what gives joy unto God. Paul rejoiced greatly that he could spread the word of the Lord, and that his labor was not without a purpose. Philippians 2, verse 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. We can always be assured that our labor is not in vain, so long as we do it faithfully and wholeheartedly. Philippians 3, verse 3. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. With Abraham's circumcision, it was a literal cutting away of the flesh. But now we are required to spiritually circumcise ourselves rather than literally, cutting away the old man of sin through baptism and separating ourselves from the world to be a separate people, removing all things that are unnecessary or detrimental to the work of the truth. Philippians 3, verses 7 and 8. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Paul counted all worldly gain as nothing, considering all time, health, and wealth to belong to God, using those things for the promotion of the truth, that at the resurrection seat he would be judged worthy of receiving the true gift given of God. We share that same position and must try to use our resources as best as possible for the benefit and spread of the truth. Philippians 3 verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul knew he must fellowship Christ's sufferings to be found worthy at the resurrection. Quoting from the November 2025 Berean Christadelphian on page 370, second paragraph, we may get to the crown afterwards, but at present we have to fellowship the cross. We have to fellowship the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, who was despised and rejected of men, and this not merely in the breaking of bread, for that is the easiest part of it, but in the actual shaping of our lives. If we are to fellowship Christ in his glory, we must fellowship him in his humiliation. If we are to partake of the glory that shall be revealed, we must partake of the suffering of this present time. Philippians 3, verses 11 and 12. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Paul makes the distinction that he had not yet received the promise, but that he labored, being apprehended of him, laying hold of on by Christ, that he might receive those promises. The truth is a lifelong effort, and there is no retirement in the Word of God. Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul considered his labors unconcluded and looked forward, striving in his works, reaching for a place in the kingdom age. He strove, as we all should strive today, toward that example set by our head, Christ Jesus. For our labor is unconcluded till we sleep in the grave or till the return of Christ. Despite not having quick and efficient means of communication, Paul could remember many of the members of the ecclesia by name. He cared greatly for the brethren and sisters, and this showed in his specific mention and instructions to those he felt that needed it. Philippians 4, verse 2 and 3, I beseech Euodias and that they be of the same mind of the in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. And like Paul, it is not only our duty, but our joy to also pray for each and every brother and sister, and think of them each in their trials and joys. The Philippians greatly cared for Paul, doing their best to look after him during all his travels. Philippians 4, verses 10, 14 through 16. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Notwithstanding, ye have well sown, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians also know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no ecclesia communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Paul was extremely thankful that he had brethren and sisters to look after him during his times of trials. Philippians 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Paul commands us not to be worried, but to always rely on the Lord, turning unto him each and every day through prayer, giving thanks to God in all things and for all things. Paul carried this attitude of relying on the Lord beautifully. Either in hunger or in need, he was happy and thankful unto God, who provideth all things. Philippians 4, verse 11 through 13. Not that I speak with respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Same as we now turn unto the Lord in prayer in all things, realizing they can come only from him. The Philippians were an ecclesia in the faith, greatly beloved of Paul, faithful in all things while he was there, and even more fervent while he was away, caring for Paul in all things, being emboldened by his bonds, striving for the faith, working out their salvation with trembling and fear. Should we not strive to emulate the Philippian ecclesia, striving faithfully and all the more vigorously till the return of Christ, flourishing in the works of truth? Quote, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Philippians 4, verse 8.